Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about animals, furry friends, little barking pets, birds, ducks, horses, bears, deer. Aren't there all of the animals? And we say there's so many. And we have fears. We have loves. We have those we connect with. We have those that we just can't live without. What is the purpose of the animal kingdom? Is it also to show us that there are no limits? We all are part of nature as one. We just think that humans are so high up on the totem pole that we've got it nailed. And everything else is below us. When in reality, it's all about the web in which we live. That's about the universal life. Today, my guest is Dr. Joanne LaFive. Her book is Animal Teachings from Haley's Angels Methods. And she'll be sharing how she communicates or is able to hear or sense messages within the animals. Many times we can put our hand on our puppy and say, I know you don't feel well, I know you don't feel well, and then we rush to find someone to fix them. What if we put our hand on our puppies and said, I know you don't feel well, could you guide me to what you might need? Can you help me hear more what's bothering you? Wouldn't that be so cool? Definitely, we're all coming to this point. If we say we are reaching inside ourselves and knowing this for self, let's start using it with the animal kingdom also. Dr. Joanne, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Jeanette.
Oh, you're so welcome. Dr. Joanne, don't you think that, humans have got this rap that they just think they've got it all nailed, right? And the human and the animals are just sitting there going, what about me, right?
Oh, goodness, they have so much they want to share with us. So, yes, if we want to listen and are eager to learn, sky is the limit, like you said. We can outgrow, reach our fullest potential in this body, in this human body. We can just reach to the sky and really there's so much more that wants to come out of us and really fulfill our full potential. So that's what animals have taught me. And I've always wanted to learn more. And even today, it's a journey of life. And I think all of us should want to learn every day of our life because there's always something more that will fascinate us. And so I'm enjoying every minute of it with every animal that I meet.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Joanne, also to the idea that now animals are healers. They are used in hospitals. Many people have them as their healing companion. And I think we say, what are we healing? Are we healing body, mind, and soul? Or really, is there a difference? And why do we even need to separate it out? Don't you think?
I agree with you. There's no need to separate. We're all a whole. We're all connected. So body, mind, soul, we need to embrace the whole being that we are. And, it's really going back to, what's the best way? How do animals do it? Well, they're just pure like children are, like we all were when we were first brought into this world, into our hearts. We keep it very, children and animals keep it very simple. They just share what they're feeling. And for us, it's just the best way to go back to that pure essence of who we are is to be in our heart and not so much in our brains like society has kind of taught us that we all find the answers in our brains. And of course we have powerful brains, but we have forgotten our heart truly. We have completely disconnected from the source, and that's why we're having a lot of issues and getting sick and why is this happening and accidents. And we have so much power over everything that's happening if we start paying attention and listening to what's happening inside of our bodies, but also outside, the messages of guidance that we get from the animals, from nature, synchronicities. Oh, my God, it's amazing the amount of information that's out there for us.
You know, I look at a lot of times people will come to me and they will help themselves, or they'll say, okay, now I need to go to the vet with my animal and have them fix them. When in essence, the message is sometimes between a pet and a human are definitely bonded together, where both may be even having the same health condition. Both might be finding that one is perpetuating or increasing or decreasing the situation in the other. I think we say that it's just as if, you know, you have a bunch of kids and one gets a cold, they all seem to get a cold. But also, too, when you have people together and someone is yelling and screaming in the home and someone else ends up getting cancer or feeling sick, we say, now I see the connections. Is that not also the same thing with animals? Because we can always see it. They tend to absorb a lot of energy, not knowing how to filter it out.
Absolutely. I have the same experience as you do. People come, bring their animals to me, and then they say, now I have to go to see my own doctor because I'm also sick. So it's all related. We do share the same space, the same energy with our animals. So if we get stressed, they feel it. They absorb our stress, and, you know, we go through the same life experiences with them, the same difficulties. So, and I see it even more specifically if someone has more than one animal, their favorite animal will be the sickest. You know, the one animal that is the closest to them, that is really being by their side the most. So that's the one that will age faster also. That's another, not necessarily getting sick, but it takes a toll on the body, and then the gray hair starts coming and arthritis and just old, you know, the body of our animals become worn out also. So I see that a lot. You know, cats can live to be 20 years old, but they can also die at 10 because of what they've been through. And so granted, our animals have a life purpose too, and a lot of time is to be there for us, you know, so they come to help us, so they know that they might take an illness from us and die from it to spare us some of the illness. So our life missions are very closely intertwined, but there is a lot of things we can do to help to spare our animals that stress, you know, and ultimately is by being more balanced ourselves, less reactive, you know, not having those really negative emotions. And if you have to yell, well, maybe can you lock yourself up, you know, in a room away from your animals if you have to, you know, vent, and so your animals don't feel that, or your children, you know, other people in the household. You see it with couples too, you know. Unfortunately, some will get sick and kind of choose death as the escape route instead of discussing things and setting boundaries. So setting boundaries for all of our animals and ourselves just helps not pass on those diseases.
Also, to the idea of, you know, when we think about journeys, we say so many times people think that when they look up their ancestry that they figure, oh, well, my past lives consist of my ancestry, my genetics, wherever, you know, wherever my DNA has been. When in essence, it truly is your soul journey, which is perpendicular to that route. It's just when it intersects is when you have a lifetime. So if we look at that, we say, have we always been the same today as we have in other lifetimes? People try to use the same visions to conjure up that same idea so they can understand it. Sometimes, you know, I mean, I can remember the other day, I think I posted on, I don't know, Facebook or Twitter, I said, I can almost feel it, you know, and always in August, varying days, I say, oh, it feels like September or October, you know, and the sun is setting at that odd angle again, and then it's almost time to go into hibernation. And I said, and I wrote on the bottom, I know I was a bear in my past life, because it's so clear, you know, when when we start to say that we have these senses or these feelings or these qualities, And then we connect in them in the animal kingdom. And it's not always that we've been diffuse of them and never seen them. We may have been part and parcel of that in the past, yes?
Absolutely, yes, I agree. I'm actually very fascinated by this topic. I'm writing a second book right now because I've met so many people that it's, I can tell, you know, I tried to find out with them what animal they've been, because the traits, the personalities, but also just the behaviors. Are you a night owl in this lifetime? What do you love to do? Where do you thrive? Because, and I see it in animals too. You know, we lived in Arizona for many years, and you have to thrive in the desert. If you come, if you're an orca, you know, a crab, or if you come from the sea, you might really get sick and have issues in the desert, and vice versa. You know, now I live by the beach, and then there's different life chapters. You know, we might thrive for a certain life chapter in a certain environment, and then it's time to move to a different one because we evolve too, so our bodies shift into, you know, okay, now it's time to focus on something else. I needed to meet my horse who was waiting for me in Florida, so now we're in Florida, but I didn't know that the horse was there. I just had a gut feeling like it was time to, we needed the grass, and there was a push, you know, there's a push of, okay, life chapter is ending now in Arizona. Everything, all the signs, all the synchronicities were pushing us to Florida. And then when I got there, this horse was waiting for me, and he needed rescuing and I needed healing, vice versa. We helped each other. I had really bad horse allergies when growing up, when I went through vet school, and it became clear that I remembered, I had a moment where I remembered living as a Native American, and I saw the movie in my head of where, when the white people captured our wild horses, and I broke into tears to remembering this because it became so vivid, like, oh my God, yes, I had an emotional shock, you know. So horses have always made me cry in a happy way, but in a sad way. So when I would go to the barn, I would break out, and you know, my nose would run, my eyes would run, and I would have this crisis, this allergy that nobody could really explain. But I healed right away when I figured out where it came from and the emotional shock I had. So I knew that this, in this life, I would have a chapter with a horse. And this horse was just, again, happened, came to my life in the right moment. He needed healing, too. We had a few years of just bliss, you know. So this is really powerful when we follow the flow. And, yes, who we have been before, who our animals have been, it's fascinating. The way, you know, what makes you what do you eat also? I became vegan many years ago, and to me that's really, you know, it suits me. But I do have a friend who is a very powerful swimmer. She loves the ocean. She was an orca in another life, it's clear. And she's pretty much vegan, but she needs her seafood to stay in balance. And so it's really interesting. You know, my husband is a lion on many points, and he's also pretty much vegan, but he needs to eat some land animals every so often, some chicken. Yeah. And so that keeps his balance. And so our bodies are talking to us. So if we listen, God, we can really thrive, you know, and be as balanced and healthy as we can.
You know, it's interesting you say that. You know, everybody is going into the vegan and the plants. And I am actually, the plants to me are almost my core basis in a way. In other words, I connect to all of them all of the time, can feel them, sense them, know them and everything. And I actually can only eat them for a certain period of time. And then it's like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I can't eat the vegan part. And it's sort of like it does just the opposite sometimes to me at certain times of the year or whatever. So I think almost, And it's, you know, like, because everybody's pushing to go to the plants. Well, for some, it might not be that we're all for that. So even mine is like, I actually eat less versus eating all plants or all meat or whatever it might be, like, you know. So it's just, like, more sparse now. And I'm finding that what that does is, in essence, is that it still keeps part of your soul with a light on. In other words, if you were like I'm a bear in the past life. I always know in August when the sun starts to set. I can't wait until they turn the clocks because I love when it gets dark in the afternoon. So all of these pieces are still intact, and it's important, you know. So that's where we find about our lifestyles or the foods we eat or whatever. We're still keeping those little pieces as they are part of us. We don't want to turn around and eat seafood all the time, you know, if we were meant to be something else, you know.
I agree completely. Everyone is unique. Everyone is unique, so you have to tap into where you become alive. And, yeah, for some people, you know, the season, the change of season, somebody will thrive more in the summer or, the winters. Like I agree with you. I'm grateful that you have made that, you have that awareness. You have put the pieces together because I agree. A lot of people are pushing it to, it's extremes, you know, we tend to always go to the extreme, but it's important to really make it work for each of us.
I think it's about honoring what shows up in the moment, and that's what you do with animals also. They're not predictors of the future. They are not someone that will run on your schedule. They definitely are in the moment, and also, too, that helps us see that. When we can see in the moment, then we receive other messages versus keeping our old templates always, you know, bringing out our little clipboard to check things off. You know, I mean, when we do that, we kind of get stuck and don't see the gems in life. You know, like I do with nature, it's sort of like I could walk out to the car and hear a leaf fall. In fact, I went out this morning, I don't know for what, I heard a noise outside. And rustling in the bushes were dragonflies. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I looked at them. They looked at me. And I said, okay, cool. And I just kept walking. It was sort of like they just wanted me to know they were there. And they didn't need anything else from me. I think the idea when sometimes we say, well, I have to capture it. I have to bring it in. I have to draw it. I have to hold it and all this other stuff. It's sort of like, well, maybe not. You know, the whole principle of you know, let's go hug a tree. And I'm like, well, I'm going to be a tree today. I'm going to say, you know what? I don't need you to hug me. Can you just go over there? I need space. Don't you think sometimes animals might be saying the same thing?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, yeah, we do have a need to go too far and to try to figure it all out for the future, you know, to plan our whole life today. And so animals have definitely taught me to, hey, I'm going to give you one little piece of information, and then you're going to grow with that, and then it's going to be another little piece, and we're going to take this step by step. And then that's how it goes with, you know, healing, figuring out why we got sick and what's the next medical decision to take. It's one little baby step at a time because the energy shifts so quickly. So, and we need to let go of that control, that need of controlling. I'm in charge. I'm going to figure this out. No, let's follow the flow. Let's go with the journey and let's stay in our hearts and in the moment, just like the animals do. This little precious moment right now, and then we'll figure out the next step when that shows up. And then there'll be signs, you know, to help us, to help guide us. So it's very, it's the right outlook. Yes, we just need to all let it go and take time to just enjoy each moment of the journey.
Let's talk about power animals for a second. You know, I have definitely been a shaman in many of my lifetimes, and I can find it shows up randomly over this lifetime. But the idea that a power animal has to be part of you, you have to carry all of its qualities, you have to listen to all of its answers, and you must keep it as a cohort and attached to it. I think sometimes when we are too attached to something, we almost end up overlaying it and becoming it, or it becomes us. And really, animals are not asking us to do that at all. They truly, I mean, a horse will engage with you when you're riding, but then the horse is out in the field, and it's not like they're calling you from the field because they have to have you there. Do you know what I mean? In other words, this whole constant overlaying and attachment and ownership and all that other stuff, and I must do it because even, you know, gurus are pounding down this stuff right now into people, and it's sort of like, oh, I'm really cool, glad you noticed that, move on, is more of the freeing will of the energy versus being stuck into this cement of a story, don't you think?
Absolutely. We, you know, we, being alone is powerful. It's not sad. You know, a lot of people are afraid of being alone. And I mean, we're alone our whole life. You know, you have relationship and really close one and really strong ones, but it needs to not be toxic. It needs to be healing and also very freeing. So, you know, we're born alone, most likely we'll die alone. So it's just, it's powerful. And when you realize that, yeah, the, exactly, respecting everyone's space. And we definitely do that in our home. And I see it when relations become toxic between animals and people where, yeah, often animals are saying, okay, you know, let me breathe here because that's too
right.
much to bear.
Right.
And being in nature, to me, is the best therapy. And you look at what the animals do when you allow them to just be in nature and just feeling the ground under their feet. And so we should all do the same, you know, just learning to be outside and not do anything and not touch anybody and not overpower
right.
or control. That's very freeing. And so in our relationship with people, too, we have to do the same thing. So.
Yeah, I think sometimes because we get too incorporated in the story. Do you know what I mean? In other words, it
mm-hmm.
becomes our identity. And when you, it becomes your identity, it's almost like, are you afraid to be free or do you need to create something for either protection or comfort or security or survival? And that's when people tend to use a power animal or a companion animal and saying, I'm using this for, and they don't even realize it, right?
Yeah, I really try to help people not choose their pet, but let their pet choose them. And a lot of people do it already, and I'm always fascinated, you know, when I ask them, well, how did you adopt your pet? And they say, oh, no, he chose me, and this is how it happened, or I was looking for a different animal. And I always love when people go with the flow and really stay open to what animal is the right one for them. And following their pets on their own journey. So, you know, you might, yeah, get a dog to do agility or this and that, or you think your dog's going to be a therapy animal, but meanwhile, you take him to all these places and your dog's always sick, you know, because it's really
right.
not his place to thrive. And some dogs do thrive in social situations. They're easy to recognize, you know, you walk them on the leash and they want to go say hi to everybody. But if you have a different kind of animal, that just, it's not their thing. So paying attention to what is the purpose of each of our animals and what do they need to feed their own soul, that's extremely powerful. So, yeah, going with the flow and not being so stuck and this is what I'm going to do, because that's how we get accidents and diseases and animals are not thriving and then people are upset because their animals are not listening to them. Well, they're just not into it, you know. You, if a horse wants to compete, my God, he will compete, he will race. But if he's not into it, it's a recipe for disaster, unfortunately.
And also, too, let's talk about draining. Humans can drain the energy out of animals. Animals can drain it out of people. And we notice this at times when sometimes someone will just say, I just can't do it anymore. Or they're just like, they feel like they always have to have the animal next to them. Don't you think that does not serve either one at all?
Yeah, I mean, we all need some space, and our animals, often we might think they need this and that, and they need us, and we have to entertain them, but no, they are content just being, so we tend to overread, I think, some of their behaviors, and I mean, they're very content. They look at the bright side of life, you know. Animals are so resilient, and they're content with very little, so that's another great lesson for us to live very simply. And just being grateful, having gratitude for, you know, the little bit that we need to stay alive here. Too much, you know, like houses that are very cluttered and everybody is
right.
on go, go, go. It drives animals completely crazy also. They can't relax in that kind of environment.
How about abuse of animals? Because we see this and people don't even realize they're doing it, where they will not care for the animal until they need something from the animal. Or, you know, you see it sometimes with children. Kids will, like, you know, not pay attention to the dog, but when they need to go out in the backyard, they'll go run with them for like 10 minutes a week and that'll be it. Don't you think that sometimes we say, how is the conversation or how is the commitment for animals to people and people to animals, how can that be nourished rather than be abusive?
It's really realizing, what we're doing and opening our hearts. It's not just about me, you know, me, and feeding my soul and what do I need. Really reaching out to a more coming from a compassionate place of looking at the world around us and how can I give? How can I bring joy? How can I bring love? How can I make someone else happy? And, you know, they say a lot of, millionaires or billionaires are the saddest people in the world because they've never learned to give. And, you should give, see how good it feels. Well, of course it feels good to bring joy and love and make life good for someone else. Children, obviously, especially in this modern world, you know, they get very lost in too many options, too much bombardment. Technology has a lot of downsides, unfortunately. So really teaching them to ground and have a healthy routine. And it's really all about daily routine and balance. And again, you look at your animals and how they act in the wild and what they need and giving that to our children so they can be balanced from the get-go in appreciating the animals and wanting to feed them. It's not a chore, you know. It's sharing life because they give us what nobody else gives us, you know. They always want us to be happy and they're supporting us and unconditional love and patience. So developing that relationship and so not coming from a me, what do I need when I need it? And, the rest of the time the animals are completely out of our routine, but really building a strong relationship because they are so amazing. I mean, they're the best friends I've ever had, you know. So.
Right. How about the idea, too, about when it's end of lifetime for animals? And it seems to have such a... it takes on a whole other world of complications and questions. And, you know, I think we need to come to a whole new set of how you care for an animal at end of life. You know, even looking back as much as maybe isn't there any animal hospice? Do you know what I mean? Or isn't there any palliative care for animals? Because truly it's about being able to take care of them and respect them until their last moments, especially for just as much as they've helped us, yes?
Yeah, I find that the needs are the same on the human side and on the animal side, you know, respecting the soul and keeping that dignity until the end, so dying with dignity. And the medical system has kind of gone to an extreme also of, well, we can keep the body alive. We can keep it going forever. Yeah, unfortunately we can, but it's not quality, it's torture. You know, we reach that place where the soul is ready to go and we're keeping it stuck here. So we cause a lot of trauma. So the people who deal the best with end of life are the children because they understand they just came from that other side and they know that, well, we're all going to go back, you know, and we tend to forget that as we get older and we cling on. We're so attached to the person or the animal that we're afraid of letting go. But no, it's natural. And if we can let go while the person or the animal still has dignity, and there are so many signs also that a soul, like, you know, a human or an animal is ready to let go. If we listen, if we ask the patient, you know, where are you in dreams, you know, signs,
right.
It's easier for pets and people to die when they're alone. You know, you see that a lot in people when the person who's watching over a loved one goes for 2 minutes, you know, goes to the bathroom, then that person dies because it's easier to be free. So when you see your animal hide in the closet, you know, or they, in the wild, that's what they do to
right.
die. And it's easier to die when you're alone, when you don't have people around saying, no, stay here. So I teach people to give your animal permission to let go. It's on its own terms. They're not for us to control and to decide. They have a plan, and it's great when they can die naturally with dignity. Obviously, if it takes too long, luckily we have euthanasia, we have medications that we can help them, because some animals will hang in there for us. You know, they take their life purpose so at heart. They love us. It's become hard for them. So they know we're not ready, and they hang in there. So it can become difficult, but it's also very simple when we just go back to what we need to do, and it's for the sake of our loved one. And yes, we're going to be sad, but our pain is much less than their pain. We need to help them have a peaceful passing and helping the soul let go with dignity when it's time.
Right, because, you know, it's really very tethering, you know. There's a lot of times people will say, well, I want to have an angel reading because I want to know how my pet is. I want to know what they're doing. I want to know they're okay. I want to know it missing. And it's sort of like, can you not even free them in their afterlife?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
This
tethering and consistently calling their soul back, I try to say to, you know, my clients is like, okay, we will call, we will say, and we will share, and then we are going to let go. We're going to have a releasing time, because if we cannot release them, they can't be free to go to their next place or their next space or whatever, because you keep calling them back. Don't you think all animals truly want to be free just as well as humans? It's just we have not opened up this conversation to request it as so.
Yeah, we have to respect their journey. And it's amazing that I've seen animals come back, you know, come back into a new body and finding their people again. And this one woman, I shared the story in my book, her husband died, and then she adopted this puppy, and she swears her husband is back in her puppy because the puppy bites select people that the husband didn't like. And so she sees, like, oh, it's so amazing, the connection that she's made. And she sent me a picture of her husband and her new puppy, and the energy is just the same. It just makes you like, oh, my God, this is so amazing. So allowing someone to pursue his journey so he can come back and find you again. You know, I feel like
right.
We're definitely full. We come back with our same soul family, or, you know, there's those connections never go away. So believing that, yeah, we have to free everyone so everyone can do what they're supposed to do, and then we enjoy the reunion, but we don't force that relationship, like you said, because it's really detrimental to the soul to be stuck here, and then everybody's rotting. You know, we all need to continue with the flow. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Joanne, I think it was great to talk to you today, because I think a lot of times people will say, but I have to, and then that's such a word of control right from the get-go, you know. And it's sort of, if we can say, can we be in allowance? And there's so many times people are saying, but I got it, I'm doing it. The next word out of their mouth, because, but, whatever. And we get stuck in that paradigm that we're not quite all the way there. However, be in awareness that we are working on it. So really, with our communications with animals and self, we are working on it. We're not all the way there. We're probably not even, you know, very close, but we've got a ways to go, don't you think?
Yes, and just being open to the journey, you know, and letting
right.
go of control and trusting the flow of energy and yes, opening up our minds and our hearts. Our hearts wide, and animals are the best teachers. So I hope everybody can really dive into their world and letting them guide us and not trying to control where we're going. Just trust that the animals know where we need to go. And there you go. I think they have it figured out more than we do.
Right. Well, Dr. Joanne, it was such a pleasure to have you today. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That'd be wonderful.
Yes, my website is haleysangel.com. It's www.haleysangels.com. And all my information are there, my book and social media links. So don't hesitate to reach out to me. I love to get feedback and hear from people with wonderful stories about how their animals taught them how to be better people.
Well, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today. We thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Joanne Lefebvre, again, her book is Animal Teachings from Haley's Angels Methods. please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to her website for more information. And it truly is about realizing that animals and people are all, we're just in this big energy soup. We don't want to always jump on them and hold them and control them or have them either do the same to us. However, how can we enjoy each other's presence, learn from each other, use them as guides, use ourselves to guide them, and be able to be in unconditional love for each other? Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.